Coming up in this episode of I Can't See You, I'll give you a real-time audio update for the Phillies provided by listener Greg, and I can't wait to tell you about it. And I'll talk all about my trip to Las Vegas where I met Dave Ramsey, saw a volcano, and had some really, really, really bad bagels. Stick with me.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 263 of I Can't See You. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I'm really glad you're here for this episode, and welcome inside Studio B. So, I've had a few things going on. One, I'm hoping my voice holds out because I've waited to record because whatever I had from Vegas, it stuck with me. I landed 6 days ago. It's been with me. Today has been the first decent day that I sound like myself. So hope this all works out. Before we get into the Vegas stuff, though, I really am excited to tell you. I got an email right before I went to Vegas from Greg, who is a listener who has been going back and forth with the Phillies. Unlike me, he was able to connect with someone. So great job on Greg, and when the real-time audio comes, he's the one that made it happen. So if you're a Phillies fan and you go and you're blind and you get the real-time audio devices, he's the one to thank. A lot of us have tried, but he's the only one that I've had seen any kind of response from. So great job, Greg. In Greg's email, the Phillies had said it'll be another homestand or two before they actually have the devices ready and running. They have all the equipment they claim, so fingers are crossed that maybe by the end of this month, we'll be able to go to a game and actually know what's going on. And if you're unfamiliar, a lot of people say, well, just bring a transistor radio. That doesn't work. There's a tape delay with a transistor radio, with any kind of radio, because that's the FCC rules. Because of, you know, the bad words and stuff. If you use an app, it's even worse. It could be 90 seconds. It's usually only about a minute, but still, if you're sitting in the stands and everybody's cheering and you want to know what happens, you don't want to wait another minute or even 30 seconds or especially 90 seconds. So I'm excited for that, and I hope to get to a game once they do offer that, and that should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to that. Last week, I went to Las Vegas to a conference called Grow With Video Live. I've been on YouTube now a couple of months, and I want to know what more I could do, how I could grow this channel, other things that I may be able to do besides just doing the podcast on video. And I know, it's been about 2 weeks since I've had my last episode. But again, I was traveling, and then I was whatever that was I had. I'm hoping it was an illness and not allergies, because if it's allergies, obviously, it's gonna come back once the all the pollen and stuff come back. So I flew to Vegas on a Tuesday. The conference started on Wednesday. It really got off to a bumpy ride. Not the travel. The travel was okay. I was able to get, they call it meet and assist. I flew Spirit Airlines, and I know everybody's saying, ooh, why'd you fly that? I flew that for two main reasons. Not for the price, because that wasn't that great either. I flew because of the times that the flights were offered. I flew out around midday. I left Philadelphia midday on Tuesday, and I got into Vegas at around 4 o'clock or so Tuesday afternoon local time. Coming back, I took the red eye. I left Vegas at around 10:30. I got into Philadelphia at 6 a.m. And that part was great. The seats weren't very comfortable, I'm not going to lie. They kind of reminded me of seats that you that you would sit on in an amusement park ride, plastic, hard plastic with a little teeny tiny bit of some sort of covering, I guess a pleather covering with maybe a little bit of padding. Again, not very comfortable. Flying out, I was in row 4 seat C, and I sat next to a fairly big guy, and I got to be honest, the guy was there with his girlfriend or his wife. And he was so nervous. It was hysterical. He is this big guy, And every time we hit some turbulence, he cringed and leaned into her. It was hysterical, this big guy. It kind of reminded me, and I don't remember what movie it was or if it was in the TV show he was in, Michael Clark Duncan or Michael Duncan Clark had told the story about how he was on I guess it was on Jimmy Kimmel. He told the story about how he was on a roller coaster and he said he screamed like a girl. And that's what this guy reminded me of. He wasn't quite as big as that guy, but it was still funny. So I was in this seat on the aisle, which was fine. I would have thought it would have had a little more room. Coming back, I sat in the same row, but in A, the seat up against the window, which was cool. So I do have some video, and I'll be, when I talk about the return trip, you'll see some of that video as the B-roll. But the seat against the window, there is a bit of a gap between the armrest and the window. So that seat, to me, had a little bit more room. Now, it also didn't hurt that nobody else was in my row when I was flying back. So that made it even a little bit easier. I didn't have to keep my backpack under my seat. I put it under the seat in front of me. But flying out there, so I had this help to get from checking in at the Spirit counter through security to the gate. And my biggest issue is finding somebody to help me at the counter. I kind of felt bad in that I asked for the assistance because once I got through getting the help at Spirit at the gate, I kind of just would have followed everybody else through TSA. But this girl, and I didn't get her name, she helped me through and took me to the gate and showed me where the bathroom was. Actually, I went to the bathroom on the way, and everything was good with that. And then once I got into the gate, I kind of wandered around, looked around to see if there was anything that I wanted to buy, whether I would have bought a soft pretzel. If I found a place that had soft pretzels, I would have bought one. I didn't find anything, and I ended up having to buy something on the plane. And that's one thing with Spirit. You get nickeled and dimed. And I'll talk more about that when I talk about the return trip. But the flight was fine. Like I said, a little bit of turbulence. The staff was great. The flight attendants were great. They gave me my own personal, showing me, hey, the thing drops out of here and here's what it is. And there's under your seat, there's this life vest. Now coming back again, it was also much better. But they gave me all that info. They told me how to get out of the plane in an emergency. I asked about the bathroom on the way out. On the way back, I actually went up to the bathroom and had the flight attendant show me. And that was just much more helpful, actually showing me instead of going in there and feeling around and whatnot. Really no issues going. Again, I bought a bottle of water and a bag of pretzels on the way out, and it was, I want to say it was $9.98 or something like that. It was $10. I later found out the water was $4.49 for a half a liter bottle of water, which is crazy. But when I was in Vegas, it was even that much more. So I guess it wasn't terrible. So once I landed, I had some time before pre-registration, or I guess early registration. I had already registered online. I just had to go and collect my name badge and some other things. So I didn't know what to do. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to eat here in the hotel. I didn't have that much time. I was hungry. Again, I was still back on East Coast time. And for the whole trip, it seemed like I was basically living in Eastern Standard Time, not Pacific Time. And I'll get into that more in a bit. So I went to one of the restaurants in the hotel, and it was a steak and seafood place. And when I got in there, I sat down and they brought I don't want to call it a basket of rolls. It was kind of like a platter of rolls. And I thought, holy cow, it looked like a cake platter, something you would put a cake on to sell by the slice in a diner or something like that. It was that big. And the only thing that I could think of as I'm looking at all these rolls and feeling all these rolls, and there were different things. They had some flatbreads on there. They had some soft rolls. They had some hard like ciabatta type rolls, and all were great because I did try them all. The only thing I was thinking as I'm looking at that, I could have eaten the whole thing, but I'm sitting there by myself, and anybody that was near, including the waiter, anybody would have known, hey, this guy's by himself. He did eat them all. So I didn't eat them all, but I did take the ones that I didn't eat back with me to my room, and I ate some the next day because I need to take some medicine that needs to have, you know, I like to have something doughy like that when I take it. So I did None went to waste, believe me. Although I didn't eat the flatbreads and half of one of the flatbreads and half of the ciabatta roll because it was just too hard the next day and I didn't have a microwave in my room. So I ended up just getting a salad and some calamari, fried calamari. And the guy's probably thinking, man, a big spender. It was buy one, get one because they were both part of a happy hour deal there in the restaurant. So with tip, I only paid $29. And as soon as he gave me the bill, I never saw him again. I ended up just leaving the bill. I didn't even know where to sign. I just signed where I thought it was blank. Whether it was or not, I don't know. I signed where I thought I should and left the signed copy, took my copy and left. The troubling part that I had was when I went down to register. Now, about a week before, I got an email saying if I had registered twice. And I said, no, I'm pretty sure I only registered the one time. I know I only paid once. And she went on to tell me that there are two David Goldsteins registered. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I'd really like to meet that other guy. I'm sure he has more hair, probably can see better. Well, I didn't think too much of it until I checked in and I said, I'm David Goldstein. Here's my email address. And they got my gear. And then one of the people behind Mark was one person. I didn't get this other girl's name. Mark wasn't a girl, by the way. Mark and this girl were behind the counter. And so he gives me a few things, and this girl is handing me a form. You have to fill out this form. I said, no, I did everything online. I shouldn't have anything left to fill out. Oh, no, you have to fill this out. Da, 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 da. I said, well, you know, I'm showing her the cane. And I said, I can't see. Can you fill it out for me? And, you know, then she called for somebody else over. This other lady comes over. I want to say her name was Meredith. I'm forgetting now. I did know it, but I didn't write it down. And she comes over, and I don't want to say it was an attitude, but I could feel the, if he can't fill out this form, how's he going to do video? That's what I was feeling. And it was, I got some short responses. She said, all right, well, here, you sign it. And she put her finger down above the line. She said, sign under my finger. Now, I've never had that happen before in my life. And I wanted to show them, looking for a piece of paper here in Studio B. Hold on. Let's just use a tissue. So here's a sheet of paper. I'm holding up a tissue. If I need to sign right down here, I would fold the piece of paper right at the line where you sign and then unfold it so there's a crease. Then I can feel, okay, I've got a sign there. And the only thing that you really need to do is tell me where to start. And I would just move my finger to where I need to start, put my left hand there because I write with my right hand, and then sign along that crease right there. She used her finger. It worked out okay. Like I said, I've never had anybody put their finger above the line. And of course, I didn't want to hit her finger because then I didn't want to get ink all over it. She said, okay, now you just fill in your name and today's date. And I'm thinking, what aren't you people understanding? Could I have filled it in? Sure. Would they have been able to read it? Probably not. Probably not, because A, I couldn't see where I needed to fill in my name, print my name. B, it would have looked just as good as my signature, which sucks, and it has, and that's not a blind thing. It's just the way it's been my entire life. So I was a little, I thought, oh my God, did I make a mistake? Did I make a mistake coming to this? And I felt so bad. And I'm thinking, man, it's going to be a long few days if this is how it's going to be. And I let it go. I thought, you know what, let's just wait until the thing gets started. And I was kind of hanging out. After that, I was hanging out and talking to one of the people who worked for Think Media. His name was Trey. And he's a young guy, probably around Jane's age, maybe a little bit younger. And he was telling me how he's got all these Instagram followers, and it was a lot. I want to say 100,000. And I asked him how he did it, and he was talking about a program that I listened to their podcast. It's called Insta something, not Instagram, Insta something club, Insta sub club, something like that. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's a paid thing, and I thought about doing it, but I didn't do it because I don't know that growing on Instagram would really do anything for the podcast, especially if I'm going to concentrate more on video on YouTube. So we talked about that, and he was very cool, and I really appreciated him talking to me. But of course, after a while, he had to go talk to other people and help other people out. So he had said goodbye, and I'm just standing there, and that same lady came back over. Again, I want to say Meredith. I could be wrong there. Madison. It began with an M. And her tone was a little bit different. So I don't know if she thought about the way she spoke to me or something good had happened to her, and maybe something bad had happened before she came over to me. I don't know. Again, you never know what's going on with somebody else before you start interacting with them. And I, you know, so I let it go. I thought, okay, she seemed better. You know, maybe there was some sort of, you know, again, it was a stressful thing. People are coming and signing in and whatnot. Maybe there were some issues, whatever it might have been. It just wasn't good. And I was really worried for the whole event. So I finish up there, and that was pretty much it for the day. I ended up going back to my hotel room. It just so happened, and this was kind of cool, that the day I flew to Vegas, Jane flew from New York, actually Newark, to LA, because she had an event in LA for one of her brands. So the same time she was in Pacific time, I was in Pacific time, and there was a couple of hours difference because she flew out earlier and flew back earlier, but we flew on the same days. And she got Wi-Fi on her flight. I didn't pay for it because I was afraid. As I've told you, there's always an issue with stuff in VoiceOver. I thought, I'm going to pay for Wi-Fi and whatever. It's either the app that I have to sign up or gain access to the Wi-Fi isn't going to be accessible, or something else crazy is going to happen. So I thought, you know what? I downloaded a couple of books, and I downloaded I used Audio Hijack to take the audio from a video from a guy whose podcast I listened to. This wasn't a podcast. It was a video. It was a 40-minute video. So I just grabbed the audio from that. It doesn't, you know, but you might have needed to see something. Yeah, maybe, but I couldn't see it anyway, so it didn't matter. So I listened to that. I listened to an audio book. For some reason, most of my podcasts were not downloaded, so I couldn't listen to most of them. So once I got to Vegas, I made sure to have a few podcasts downloaded so that I could listen to them, you know, when I flew back to Philadelphia. So Jane and I talked on the phone, and I was really happy with my room. The event took place at the M Resort. And the one bad thing, if there was a bad thing, was that this is in Henderson, Nevada. So it's not far from the airport and not far from the Strip, 15 minutes by car or so. But there's nothing close by to walk to. I had asked if there was a market or something that I could walk to. No, but I could help you use DoorDash or Uber Eats. I mean, I could do that too. I don't need your help. I was hoping to get some blueberries, which, as I said to Liz after I ate dinner on Monday night, I said, these are the last vegetables I'll be eating for a while. And that later that night, fruit, the blueberries and raspberries and blackberries, and which was true. I may have had fruit one time out there, and I did have that salad, but when you put that much dressing, it was pretty dressed. You know, it doesn't really make it healthy. So Jane and I talked. I showed her the room because, again, it was huge. The bathroom was probably, looking around Studio B, probably as big as Studio B. It had both a tub and a shower. The shower was great. The shower was kind of rivaled the Thistle in Trafalgar Square in London, which is my all-time favorite shower of any shower that I've ever, ever, ever been in. That was the best shower. So if you go to London, stay at the Thistle just around the corner from Trafalgar Square, and the shower was great. I don't know how accessible it is, though, if you're in a wheelchair, because once we got up to the floor, there were a couple of spots where we had to go down two steps, then up two steps. So if you're in a wheelchair, I don't know how you maneuver that. And maybe you could just stay where there's regular hallway. Room was very comfortable, plenty of room. I turned on the TV briefly, couldn't tell what channel it was on. There's also a TV in the bathroom, which I turned on. Again, couldn't tell what I was watching. And so one thing that I realized that I want to do for the next time that I travel, which will be in July when I go to Orlando for the NFB convention, is I want to get a small Bluetooth waterproof speaker that I can run either something music-wise off my phone. I love to listen to 1010 Winds every morning when I get ready, and I really miss that, even though it wouldn't have been the morning people that I listened to while I was showering because of the time difference. I guess if I got in early enough, and I did get up at 6 o'clock every day. So the next day comes. It's the beginning of the event. Wednesday, there are two full days, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday was half a day. So I sit down, and I had a VIP pass. There were three levels. There was platinum, VIP, and then general admission. I took the VIP because each day they provided lunch. Not that the lunch was worth it. It was, though, food-wise. And it was good. The food was good. I really liked the food. But they had a Q&A with that day's speakers. So the one day it was Pat Flynn and Cody Sanchez. Maybe Cody Sanchez was the next day. I don't remember. But they had two people one day and one person the next day. It was great. It was just, it was awesome that they had that. And I was glad to do it because of that. The other thing about the lunch, the other VIPs, for example, at my table in the lunch area, and I'll get back to once I was inside the event in a second. But the lunches had, you got to meet all the other folks. And some of the people, like this one lady who was sitting at our table at lunch the first day, her name is Mary. She has a channel, and I'll put a link in the show notes, called Mary's Nest. And she began on YouTube when she was 60. I'm just about 60, in case you didn't know. And she does this cooking. And honestly, she reminded me of Liz's mother. And I always said that Liz's mother would have been a great personality to have on YouTube. She loved it. She was fixated with the weather. It would have been great every day for her to just do the weather. Just stand in front of a blank wall and do the weather. And this lady does cooking for beginners. And she's got that motherly or grandmotherly sound. Again, I'll link in the show notes so you can check out her channel, especially if you want to learn how to cook something. And so I got to meet her and her husband. And it's funny because she records in the kitchen, and her husband monitors from the dining room to make sure everything's going well and whatnot. So she said sometimes it's a little weird because she's just like I am right now, just talking to the camera. That's all she's doing, and there's nobody else in the room. I mean, there's nobody else in the room here, as far as I know. Ziggy and Liz are on a walk. That's why it's quiet upstairs. But it was very cool getting to meet all those folks. And I obviously met other people too, but this lady, Mary, has a million subscribers. A million. She's 66 years old. She has a million subscribers. So it was great to meet people like that. And again, other people and learning what they do on their channels. I met a guy at another night. His name was, I believe, Steve Poplar. He has I think it's called the Poplar Report. He does two videos a day. And it's a survivalist thing. He went up on stage on the last day because I think he had either 50,000 or 100,000 subscribers. Now, I haven't checked out his channel yet either, and I want to take a look because it's just amazing to me. He was from Pittsburgh. So I got to meet folks from all around L.A., Vegas. There were a few folks from Vegas. I met another guy that was visually impaired he's legally blind but does not need the cane yet. His name was John Larson. He's originally from Maine but now lives in Houston. So I got to meet all these people, Colorado, this guy Michael from Santa Barbara, and it was just very cool to meet all these folks. But I also met Oprah, not that Oprah. I'm sitting there at the first thing on Wednesday morning at my little desk and table. It was a table, and you think, oh, there's going to be tables. It's going to be in a table layout. And I'm thinking round tables like you have, like we had at lunchtime in the other room. These were tables that were set up. You could put your laptop on them if you had it, or you could put a writing pad down. So it was awesome. So everybody's facing forward. And as I sit down, this girl comes and sits down next to me, and she says, hi, I'm Oprah. And I thought I heard her wrong because I've never heard anybody else named Oprah before. And and I don't know why, but we're talking and we're going over some things, and we're talking about, you know, what we're going to do with the YouTube and why she was there and why I was there. And as we were breaking for lunch, she said, I know I'll see you around, and come on, we'll go over to have lunch. And I'll tell you about that in a second. She said, again, my name is Oprah. So I knew I heard her right. And she then said, come on, we'll walk over and get lunch. So we walked over because obviously she was a VIP as well. Well, they had said, take all your stuff with you. I had a cup from my morning tea and I had a book that they left there. So I didn't leave it. She left some of her stuff, which is what I should have done because I'm a dummy and listened. It then almost cost me my seat. But it didn't because the lady ended up moving. But so I'm carrying my cup and a book and my cane. And I'm thinking, how am I going to carry my plate of food from the buffet area to the table? And I somehow did. She carried my utensils. And I felt bad because I'm thinking, here's this girl I just met at 9 o'clock this morning, and she's doing this stuff for me. I kind of was embarrassed because I don't like to rely on people like that. I was a dummy for taking the cup and taking the book. And I later found out I should always leave the cup there with something else because it was a great marker for me for when I was going by. A lot of people left cups, but mine also had my book. The next day I didn't have the book, so I left a stack of my business cards, hoping the people would take them. And some people did. And I gave some away. But she helped me out, and I'm thinking, okay, she had told me, oh, if you need somebody to go to dinner with, we can go and so forth. And I'm thinking, she's already doing too much for me. I can't rely on someone like that. She's not here for me. She's here for her. Let her network with everybody. And what was great, after we finished that session on Wednesday, I didn't see her again until Friday. As she was heading to the airport, I was sitting in the lobby because I was taking the red eye. She was not. She was flying to San Francisco. And she came over and said goodbye to me. She saw me sitting there and she said, oh, I followed you on Instagram. And I said, okay, cool, thanks. And we talked for a minute. I was actually on the phone with someone. And so we didn't talk long, but it was awesome that I was able to go and meet other folks. The next day I sat in between two other guys, and one guy was from Edmonton. I don't remember where the guy on my right was from, but he connected me with one of his friends who was blind, who wasn't at the conference. So all of that went well. The dinner on Wednesday night, it was just okay. I had a couple of things going on NFB related that once I got back to my hotel room after the day's session was over, I got a text and a call and this was going on and that was going on. So I ended up dealing with that. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go downstairs and get something pretty fast. And I was going to eat downstairs in this deli. And I'm like, oh, a deli sounds good. I get up to the counter and I'm thinking, okay, this is not a deli. This is a restaurant that says they're a deli. And I said, okay, could you read the menu to me? Because it was behind the people. And it was hard, you know, I had my phone up with Seeing AI reading it, but it's easier if somebody tells you. She said, instead of reading it, I'm going to tell you what the top sellers are. I said, oh, that's great. She said, number one seller here is a Philly cheesesteak. And I started laughing. I can't get that, I said. I'm from Philly and no one would respect me if I came here to this place and ate one of them. So I didn't get that. I ended up getting a cheeseburger. I was hoping to get like a salami on rye. I thought about pastrami on rye, but I got the cheeseburger and fries, and then I got an iced tea, which was great. So I took that stuff back up to my room. I ate it. I texted with the people that I needed to. I called the people that I needed to. I talked to Liz for a little bit. And again, the time difference kind of, you know, Liz goes to bed at 9 o'clock. So that's 6 o'clock. I had to talk to her even before I went down to get dinner because otherwise she would have been sleeping. So that was basically that night. I ended up going through some reading materials that I was given that day and kind of had an idea what was going to go on the next day and talked to Jane a little bit. Her stuff ended a little bit after mine. And so we talked on the phone for a little bit and I went to bed. And it was great until I ended up getting up at 3:30 a.m. I had gotten up the day before at 3:30 and fell back to sleep and got up at 4:30. This day, I fell back to sleep and got up at around 4:45. So all the days were fairly long because of that. Now, I was still getting as much sleep there as I do here because I usually only get 4.5 or 5 hours of sleep a night. Sometimes a little bit less, sometimes only 4 hours. But I just couldn't, my body, until Friday, the last day there, my alarm actually woke me up. The other days it did not. Now, on Friday morning, I did wake up in the 5 o'clock hour and I thought, oh, come on. And at this point, I was tired enough that I was able to fall back asleep and not wake up until the alarm went off. The day before, I woke up and my mind just started racing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I just so much going on. Now, it doesn't hurt that Thursday night, I went to the Strip with somebody that I had met there. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But let me tell you about Thursday's sessions. Again, Thursday's sessions, great. Cody Sanchez was there. The keynote that day was Dave Ramsey, who I ended up getting to meet. And there's a picture. If you go to my Instagram account, you could see me and Dave Ramsey. It's just a couple of old guys there. It's me and somebody that's a couple years older than me. But he was very cool. And he said a couple of things. He said a couple of things that, to me, I knew. But a lot of the folks in the crowd, like he said, when I first was on the radio, I sounded like Daryl and his other brother, Daryl. Unless you're in your late 40s and up, you're not going to remember from Newhart or the Newhart Show. I can't remember which was which, when they owned the Bed and Breakfast in Vermont, that's what that was from. So he was very cool. He was nice to meet. And I was glad that that happened. But really uneventful on Thursday, other than getting to lunch, where on Wednesday we got to lunch and we were one of the first ones in the room. When I got to lunch on Thursday, I had to wait in the line, and it was hard to find even one seat for me, which I ended up finding. Somebody helped me find a seat. But by the time I got back to get a hot tea, there was no hot water. I put two tea bags in, the water starts flowing, and I have about a quarter of a cup of water in there, maybe not even that. So I didn't have tea that day, so I had to run upstairs, and I ended up getting a caramel macchiato because I thought, well, you know what? I'm running on little energy. Let me get a macchiato and that'll keep me going. And it all worked out. It all worked out. It was warm because the place was freezing. And I'm glad I had heavy shirts for each day because it was freezing in there. Everybody was freezing. But it was just very cool, above and beyond the freezing part, that, you know, you go to these events and you don't know anybody. So you start meeting people from all over the place. Wednesday night was a networking thing where I met a lot of people that I ended up seeing later on around the hotel. And the problem with me is, you know, when you have a badge on, people can see, hey, David, how you doing? Hey, how are you? I don't know what their name is because I can't see their badge. And there's no real workaround on that. But I got to meet one guy on Tuesday night who was a local guy. His name was Christopher Cruz. And so we talked for a bit. And the next day, so Thursday when I walked in, I don't know if it was in the morning or after lunch, I heard somebody call my name and I turned around and it was him. He didn't have a VIP. He was back in the general admission area. And so we started talking. He's like, oh, what are you doing later? And I said, I really want to get to In-N-Out Burger on the Strip. There's one on the Strip. I thought I could walk around. And when I woke up that morning and my head was racing with everything that I had learned the day before and things that I could do. And he said, oh, I might want to do that. You know, text me when you're ready to go and, you know, maybe I'll go. And so I got to meet Dave Ramsey later that day and I texted him. I said, hey, do you know, I'm going to go soon. Did you want to go? And he said, yeah, I'll go. He said, I just started eating dinner, but, you know, once I finish, I'll come and I'll pick you up and we'll go. And he ended up picking me up and we drove down to the Strip. We parked in Treasure Island, I think he said. And he said, if anybody asks, we're going to Senior Frog. I said, why is that? He said, because it's free parking if you're going to something in the hotel. I said, okay, cool. And then after we crossed through, I said, Senior Frog, you know, Jane always talks about going to Senior Frog down in Playa del Carmen, Cancun, wherever, and she was in the Mexican Caribbean side of the Mexican Mexico back when she was in college. So I thought that was funny, and I'm not going to lie, when he said senior frog, I automatically started thinking guac and chips and salsa and chips. That sounded all good to me. But again, I was there for In-N-Out Burger because I can get that stuff at other places. I mean, I guess I could get the burgers at other places, but you can't get the animal style at one of the other burger places. So we walked over to, we actually took the tram from Treasure Island over to In-N-Out Burger, and I got the In-N-Out Burger. We then walked around. We walked down to the Bellagio. I took some video of the fountains. I took a blind selfie of me and Christopher. Again, you can see that image also on my Instagram account, at David Benj, of course. And he said, you know, there's this volcano where the Mirage is that they're going to tear down and they're going to put a Hard Rock hotel. And I said, oh, that's cool. He said, well, let's walk down there and, you know, you'll see it. It'll probably be the last time you have a chance to see it because it's probably going to start ripping it out this summer. So we walked down there and we got to see that, which was very cool. And the last time I was in Vegas, the only other time I was in Vegas for half of the NFB convention in 2018 or 2019, whenever that was, we didn't get to see that. And so I'm glad I got to see that. I was amazed at the temperatures, how hot it was when the fire is shooting out of the top of this thing. And, you know, you're, I don't know, 100 yards away. Bad at judging. It was dark. I can't see. And all sorts of other issues, but it was so warm from the flames. And I'll try and put a clip of that video up. I shot a long clip of that. So if I can, I'll put that up as well. As I'm speaking now, you'll see it. That you're currently looking at video of the volcano erupting at the Mirage. But that was very cool. And then instead of taking the tram back, because we had pretty much walked most of the way, we ended up just walking back. And he said, oh, do you want to see the sphere? I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. And so we walked over and we walked to this overpass to see if we could see it between the two buildings. Couldn't see it. He said, all right, we'll drive right by it. Right now you're watching B-roll of us driving past the sphere and it's looking at us. So check that out as well. You're watching that now. Again, if you're listening to the podcast version, go to youtube.com/@ICan'tSeeYou and take a look at the video. I don't have that up on Instagram because it's so long and I just haven't edited it. I'm sorry that I have not, but I've had 8 million things going on and I really wanted to have a video of all the stuff that I did in Vegas. But again, I'm home a week. Didn't help that I didn't feel great for most of those days. And I've had an event to go to and and whatnot, whatever. Just excuses, right? Got to stop with the excuses. So, well, it was an awesome day. I mean, that was just awesome to have someone like Christopher show me the strip because he's from there. He knew all the stuff going on and we talked about the A's moving there and we talked about a few other things. You know, he just knew everything about it where I may have been able to walk along there. First of all, I would have bumped into a lot of people had I been on my own because the streets, the sidewalks are kind of wavy, not in a straight line. Like you, when you're walking in New York or Philadelphia, they're straight. You walk down the street, it's a straight shot one way or the other way. Here, it's kind of meanders a little bit. So you're constantly having to dodge these things to stop people from driving on the sidewalks, dodging people, dodging those showgirls wearing the skimpy outfits that they want to take a picture with you. So it was great that I was there and had him to tell me all the stuff that's going on. It was just a lot of fun. And I got in about 11,000 steps that day, which I was also very excited about. And that's why I think I was able to sleep until my alarm went off the next day, other than getting up that one time when I thought it was time to get ready. So the final day, I was really looking forward to it because two of the speakers, one is Nikki Saunders, and she was going to talk about AI, and she was very cool. She's from New York. It was great to hear from her. And then Shailene Johnson was there, and she's the one who does the Instagram training, and she's a workout person. She made that was her, I guess you would say, her first career. She's been on TV for all sorts of workout stuff, but she does this training now, and she was awesome. Both of them were awesome, and it was a really good, and they were back to back. It was great. And the day the session ended, after they showed, I forget what they called them, they had these awards, Impact Awards. And anybody that hit 10,000 subscribers or more, or a certain dollar amount, and I don't remember the dollar amount, they ended up winning. I don't know if they got them, if they were plaques, if they were certificates. They had something, and they were called up on stage. And so they're calling some of these people out, and the person I mentioned, Mary, was called up there, and Steve Poplar was called up there. And the more I think about it, he was 100,000 subs. But then I hear a name, a guy named Kerry Egler. And I listened to a podcast by him and another guy about print on demand, which I am very much interested in, if not for me, for the NFB to have a merch store to do things to help raise funds. I mean, I know that I'd be doing the designs for the most part. I know that I would be running the e-commerce part of it. But I just love the idea because it's something that if you have a great design and you sell a lot, it could mean a lot of money coming in to the NFB of Pennsylvania with not a bunch of people giving it a lot of effort. Obviously, I'm going to give it a lot of effort, but I'm going to give whatever I do a lot of effort. So it was cool. And I wasn't quite sure I heard it. So I asked somebody who I was sitting next to, I said, and this was a different guy again, the last day, I said, did they say Kerry Egler? And he said, oh, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. And so when I got home, I DM'd him on Instagram. I said, did I hear your name called for the Impact Awards? And he got back to me a couple of days later. He said, yeah. I said, oh, that's awesome. I said, I really would have loved to have met you in person. Had I known he was there, I would have obviously searched him out. But I, obviously, I don't know how I would have searched him out, but somehow I would have figured it out. So it was very cool. So, but I did have a lot of time after the thing ended, and I did purchase coaching. So I'm going to have some coaching, which I'm really looking forward to, because as I'm talking right now, I'm trying to figure out, am I looking at the camera? And I think I am right now. But a whole bunch of other things. And again, I don't want to just do stuff based here in Studio B. I want to go out and do things out of Studio B and make videos that way, whether I'm doing stuff in museums and showing that they're accessible or not accessible, or I'm talking about flying, or I'm talking about getting into a hotel and things that you can do if to find your way to the room and so forth and so on. That's what I want to do. And whether it's my channel is more that coming up, I don't know. But I have my first coaching call on Tuesday, the 7th. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we'll see how it goes. But because of that, they also had a end of the conference toast for folks that signed up for coaching. And so I went in there and I talked to a few folks in there. Then I realized as I'm standing there, I'm like, wait a minute, I only had till 1 o'clock to check out. And it's like 10 after one. So I quickly ran up to my room. I couldn't get in. I scanned the card, nothing. Scanned the card, nothing. So I went back downstairs to the front desk. She gave me a temporary card, and I got in, got my stuff, because I was packed up and ready to go. I just needed to get my bags and take them away. I only had, I had a suitcase that, a carry-on that is very cool looking. It's Soundwaves, and I put an I Can't See You sticker on, the new logo, which I should have brought my hat down. I just got a new hat with the new logo, and within the next couple of episodes, I'll start with the new logo on the cover art, but I haven't designed it yet, the cover art. And obviously, the logo is done. But I had all this time, and I think, do I eat something now? Do I wait till I get to the hotel? Well, or get to the airport? I should have eaten something at the hotel, because when I got to the airport, which I didn't leave for the airport until around 4 o'clock. Again, my flight wasn't until 10:44, so I had plenty of time. I get to the airport. Daniel was my, I think I got Lyft. I don't remember. I think it was Lyft. And he was very helpful. Sometimes they don't even get out and give you the time of day when I'm carrying bags. He got out, grabbed my bags, and helped me get out of the, he said, wait, I'll help you get out. And I asked him where the door was. He said, if you just keep walking straight, that's the door. I walked into the airport, and I'm like, okay. I couldn't obviously read anything. So I take my phone out, and I quickly scan. And somebody came over to me and she said, do you need help? I said, yeah, where's the Spirit check-in? And she said, it's to your left, head that way. I said, okay. And I did, went down there. Somebody from Spirit helped me once I got there. I told her that I was meeting someone for a meet and assist. And here's where it, I guess I shouldn't say it wasn't helpful. It would have been more helpful here because I don't know the airport. It's only my second time in the airport. and at least departing. I've been there. I've been to Vegas twice. This was the second time I'm leaving Vegas. So I wait, I go check in, and they take care of everything. They give me my paper boarding pass. I was in 26F. I'm like, okay, I don't care where I am. I'm next to the window on the right side. That's fine. I'm not in the great seat all the way up front, but it gets better. Hold on, I'll tell you. So they told me to wait. You can stand over here. Do you want to sit down? I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to be sitting for 4 or 5 hours, plus the time before I get on the plane I'm going to be sitting. They said, okay, well, just stand here. And I shot some video, some B-roll video. You're now looking at the baggage check-in at Harry Reid International Airport. Convenient that they found out that guy was a racist or whatever he was, McCarran, who the airport used to be named after. And now it's called Harry Reid International. I'm sure they knew that before they wanted to rename it Harry Reid, but whatever. So I'm waiting, and this one security person keeps coming up to me. You sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah, am I in the way? And she's like, no, you're good. Finally, somebody comes down. His name was Corey. And he starts talking to this security lady. And he's got a wheelchair on him. And I've already told him I don't need a wheelchair. My legs are fine. It's my eyes that don't work. So I hear him say, well, it's against my better judgment, but I'll leave this here. And I'm like, F you, Corey. I said it in my mind, not out loud. Don't worry. Again, showing that people just don't understand what it's like to not have sight. My feet are, yeah, they hurt, but I can walk. And he made me so mad that he said, do you want me to grab your arm? I said, you know, if you want to walk and just as long as you make a little noise, I'll just follow right behind. Oh, how about if I grab your arm? I said, okay, that's fine. So since he was holding on to me, I took off and I walked my usual speed. And he's getting, okay, a little bit to the left. Watch, there's a pole coming up right over there. I'm like, right over where? I need left and right, buddy. I don't know what over there means. And so we get up and we get to TSA, and show the lady my license. Well, sorry, I don't have a license, right? Show the lady my ID, a real ID, by the way, issued by the state of Pennsylvania. And we go through to the security guys, and the lady, I say to Corey, I said, do I need to take off my shoes? I don't know. Let me ask. He asks the TSA lady on the other side of the bins, does he need to take off his shoes? Can he take off his shoes? Again, I can't see. I can bend over and take my shoes off. I didn't want to, but I can. So I've got the backpack on my back. I start to bend over and I'm starting to untie my one shoe. She's like, let it go. It's okay. And obviously I probably don't have the face of a terrorist. So she let me go. I left my shoes on, which is great because I cannot stand walking around without my shoes on, even in my house. My feet are always so sore from, I don't know if it's the psoriatic arthritis, but they always hurt. And to take them off, to take off my shoes where I have no padding underneath, oh my God, it just terrifies me that I'll step on, even if I step on, like when the kids were little and I'd step on a Lego, it was excruciating. We go through security. I set the thing off because I go through with my cane because nobody took my cane from me. And I handed the cane to the one person on the other side. They say, go back and do it again. I went back and I'm realizing as I'm about to walk through again that in one of my inner pockets, because I had a hoodie on, my inner t-shirt pocket, I had my earbuds. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot my earbuds, which I don't know how much metal are on them. But obviously there's something. So I was praying that I didn't set it off going back through, and I didn't. So that was cool. Got all my stuff from the bins. Corey helped me. And then we walked to the gate, A12. And he's telling me what we're passing, and I could smell food. And I said, oh, what was that place? And he's telling me, and there's a whole bunch of people at the different gates. And I'm like, man, it sounds busy. So as we're just about to gate A12, we're passing A7, A8, and he's telling me, and he said, we're just going to go down, and it's basically like a rotunda where the gates are in a circle, And when we get there, all I hear are slot machines. In the middle of this area where there's gates along the edge, there's slot machines. Wheel of Fortune, Donna Summer Hot Stuff kept playing, which was getting on my nerves after a while. But I asked Corey what the food places were, because there were a few food places here. He said, well, there's a bagel store. I said, oh, great, bagels. That's what I just wanted, a soft pretzel. I don't like to eat anything too crazy before I get on a plane, because I don't know what it's going to make me feel like on the plane. And I didn't bring an orange, like Alex always tells me to bring an orange to put down in the aisle and watch it as you're taking off. It goes all the way back. And when you land, maybe it'll come all the way front. I didn't do that. Sorry, Alex. So I asked them if they had soft pretzels. They don't have soft pretzels, but they have pretzel bagels. I'm like, okay. I said, do they have salt on them? Because I really wanted, if more than anything, salt, so I don't have to get up in the middle of the flight to go to the bathroom. I don't like to do it on the train, and I certainly don't want to do it on an airplane. So I got two pretzel bagels, and when I got them, they felt like they weighed a ton. When I started to eat them, once I got back over to the gate and I said goodbye to Corey, I'm like, these are the worst bagels I have ever had in my entire life. I don't know if they were day old and they didn't heat them enough, or if they were fresh and they overnuked them. Whatever it was, they were awful. Other than the salt content, I went to the bathroom before I took off, probably in the 9 o'clock hour, so in the midnight hour, Philadelphia time, but it was before I took off. I didn't go again until I was in the house here for probably half an hour. So however long that was, that was probably 8:30. So I didn't go that whole time. So the bagels did the trick. That made it work. And that was good. But I really didn't have anything substantial to eat on Friday, because I had a protein bar for breakfast. I had a couple of pieces of candy, hard candy, while I was in the event to keep my throat, you know, from starting to cough. And, you know, then just junk food. Hard pretzels, popcorners. What else did I have? One other thing that I can't remember. But I was so thirsty on the plane from that, from those bagels, I ended up having to buy a water. I bought another water. But before we got on the plane and everything, I'm at A12. And I don't remember. I check my emails as I'm sitting at A12. And I was there very early, as I mentioned. I'm sitting there, I'm going through email, I'm posting on Instagram, and Instagram is such a hassle when you're posting a picture. I'm not going to go into it now, because I've had several episodes where I've bitched and moaned about that, because when you're posting a picture, you got to shut voiceover off at the right spot. I spent probably a dozen times trying to post an image the other day here, and it's just so frustrating. But I'm checking emails, and I get an email from Spirit. Why they didn't text me, as I asked. So the gate had changed from A12 to A7. So I'm like, okay, I'll go over to A7. I go over to A7, and I'm standing there, and this guy comes up to me, said, you want a seat? I can give up my seat. I said, no, I'm good. I'm going to be sitting for a while, so I'm good. Okay, no problem. And I'm just walking around. I walk up and down the concourse, and just to keep moving, and at one point, I'm standing there in front of gate A7, and this guy comes over to me. His name was Matt, and he starts talking. Hey, you were at the conference. Hey, I'm Matt, blah, 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 blah. We start talking, and as we're talking, I hear an announcement being made, and everybody from A7 gets up and leaves. So I finished talking with Matt, and I got a little worried, because at this point now, it's probably around 9 o'clock Vegas time, and I know we're probably going to start boarding, you know, at 10 of 10, so another 45 minutes or whatever. So I go over to, I hear the, and somebody passes me and says A14. So I go to A14, and these three guys that I saw in A7, the one guy offered my seat, his name was Randy. He was with Dennis, and they were with another guy named Pete. Pete was in a wheelchair, and that is how they were going to get on the plane early. So I'm talking to them, and they keep talking about, yeah, we got to leave sooner. We're never going to get into the airport before it closes. I said, what do you mean closes? Yeah, John Wayne Airport closes because of noise after a certain hour. I said, what? I said, but I'm going to Philly. And he keeps going. He said, you know, we thought about driving here and da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh, how long is that drive? He said about 7 hours. I'm like, 7 hours? That doesn't make sense. He said, but the flight was only $21. I said, $21? I paid $180 for me and $130 for my bag. And that was a carry-on. He said, wow, that's a lot. And so we're talking again more. And again, he mentions John Wayne Airport. I said, again, I'm not going to Orange. I'm going to Philly. And he said, oh, I thought you were kidding. This this is going to Orange. Orange County or whatever. I'm like, oh, no, I don't need to be here. And then Dennis then said, oh, let me find out where you, what gate you are. And I'm told A5. So I'm like, I thanked them. I said I was nice meeting the three of them. And I left. And so, again, I'm in that rotunda area where, I don't know, I guess it went from A10 through A14 or 15. I walk back down the hallway past A9, A8, A7. I get to the end of the hallway. It splits in a Y. Do I go to the right? There's a thing called right-hand rule, and I should have used it. Or do I go to the left? Well, I went to the left. Now, what do you think as you're going down in numbers? So again, I went from A8 to A7. What do you think on the left-hand side, what the next number is? Go ahead, take a minute. Really think about it. If you said gate A17, you're right. I don't know how those numbers figure. So I go back to gate A7. And I don't know what the other numbers were because I had my phone out and I'm looking and I heard it say A17 and I knew I wasn't in the right spot. And my biggest fear was getting turned around somehow and then going way off course and never finding the gate and then not being able to leave Vegas that night. So I go back to A7 and I said, I think I'm supposed to go to A5. I'm going to Philly. Can you tell me if it's A5? And if it is A5, where do I have to go? And the girl at the desk at A7 said, yes, it is A5. So when you get to the end of the hallway and you can go right or left, I said, I know it's not to the left because I already did that. She's like, no, you go to the right and it's the first gate on your right. I said, okay, great, thanks. So I head over there. I find the gate, no problem. I go up to the girl who's behind the desk there. I say, hey, this is A5, right? She said, yes. I said, this is the flight to Philly, right? Yes. I said, great, I'm in the right spot. She said, we're not boarding yet, we're good. And that was that. I'm standing there for a few minutes. This guy comes over to me. Hey, you were at the conference, right? I was the only guy with a white cane at the conference. Easy to spot. So we start talking. This guy was from Drexel Hill, which is very close to me. It's where Simon lives, who I've mentioned before. Harriet, who's the president of Keystone, she lives in Drexel Hill. So we started talking, and it was very cool to talk to him. And just as we're talking again, they start making an announcement and there's a guy in a wheelchair that I'm standing next to. And I hear him start to move. I'm like, oh, I want to follow them because I want to make sure I get on because I knew I was all the way in the back of the plane. So the guy in the wheelchair gets on with some help, somebody pushing him. And I hand my boarding pass to the same girl that told me I was at the right spot. And it's taking him. And I'm like, oh, please don't tell me something's wrong with my boarding pass. She hands it to me and I thank her. And I go down the jetway. I get on the plane. The flight attendants all welcome me. Again, very, very friendly. It was just unreal how nice these people were. And I get on. Oh, and the girl said when she gives me my boarding pass back, she said, you were all the way in the back. I put you in the priority seating. You're in row 4, seat A. I didn't think about it at the time, but as I mentioned earlier, I should have known then when she said 4A that there was nobody else in the row. So I have this row. So I said again, I said to the one girl, her name was like Shawnice, Shawnette, something like that. Jawnice, Jawnette, something like that. I don't know. I, again, probably had a name badge on, couldn't read it if she did. She was so unbelievably helpful, the most helpful of all of them. She said, yeah, you're there. And I said, I started to look in the bins to put my bag up. She said, I'll take care of that. Just, you can sit down. I said, are you sure? She's like, yeah, I'm just going to put it right over here. She picked it up, put it in. And I sat in and I said, again, I'm against the window, right? She's like, yeah, take my backpack off, shove it under the seat. And she said, okay, I'm going to go over the medical stuff. I said, or the emergency stuff. I said, okay. And so she said, this is a life vest. She puts it in my hand. She says, feel it. Here's how you open it. Once you open it, you got to do this and that and the other. And it was the first time they ever actually put the things in my hand. My big question was, we're in Vegas. We're going to Philly. Do we fly over any water? I asked. She said, well, there might be some lakes. And at that altitude, what are the chances if we're falling from the sky, we hit the water? What are the chances? And she laughed. She then shows me the breathing cup on a rubber band with the bag on it. I get to feel it. I feel how the rubber band is. And I'm like, okay, I figure out how to do that. She said, it's going to drop from here. And she shows me, and I put my hand up. That's how low the ceilings are here in Studio B. I put my hand up and I feel where it's going to come from. Again, I'm in the row by myself, so nobody else is going to steal mine. She tells me that, and she said, okay, now the nearest emergency exits are four rows in front. I said, oh, where I came on? She said, yes, there or the other side of the aisle. I said, oh, two of them. I said, great. She then asks me, if you need help when you're leaving and I grab you, is there any way I can grab you that wouldn't startle you? I said, now we're talking about an emergency going on, right? I said, don't you think I'm already going to be pretty freaked out? I said, you just tell me and grab me and tell me where to go. That's, in this instance, I don't mind if you grab me. You don't have to ask. Just grab me and tell me to lead me the way I need to go. So we talk about that and she's all done. And she said, do you have any other questions? I said, yeah. I said, do we have a second to go up to the bathroom? And she said, yeah. So I get up. I don't take my cane with me. I'd already folded it up. And I get to the bathroom and she tells me about the door. She says, okay, now you do the door. And the door had like a lever handle. I open it and I said, all right, now where is the button to flush? Because if there's one place I don't want to feel, the entire wall is a bathroom. And one of the other flight attendants say, yeah, boy, that is gross, right? And she tells, and I see something on the wall. I said, I see some weird looking thing on the wall. Is that the button? She said, yes. And I go and I touch it. And I said, okay, good. And I'll figure out the sink if I have to use the bathroom. I'm hoping I don't need to use it. Go back to the seat. Everything is great. I have no trouble. I wait till the very end to get off the plane because I'm not in any rush. And I had texted Liz once we landed, once I had signal, because again, I didn't pay for the Wi-Fi. I texted her that we had landed. I told her I'd text her once I got inside the airport, which I did. And then she came and picked me up and I was good to go. And Ziggy was really happy to see me. He freaks out when he sees suitcases because he knows something's going on. And Jacob just went to England the other day. So he was worried when he saw the suitcase. I think he was a little relieved that it wasn't Liz or I going somewhere and that it was Jacob. So Jacob's having some fun in the UK right now, up in the northeast of the country. He comes home sometime the end of next week. But that was my trip to Vegas. And there were multiple times that, and it was my fault, I let somebody dictate and let them help me more than I needed them to help me. And that was my fault. And I was embarrassed by it because that's not how I normally do things. And I'm just hoping that doesn't become a habit. But it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. I'm excited to do more videos. I've always wanted to do videos and I love doing videos. I don't know. I mean, somebody wants to look at this all this time. I mean, there's a special word for there's a special word for you. I'll try to do more B-roll, I promise, so there's less of this. So I'm really excited for that. And that was Vegas. Now, before I go, just real quickly, just wanted to mention White Canes episode 101. It's with Rabbi Lenny Sarko, and he created the first Braille Torah. And it is just an incredible story, A, that it had never been done before. And when you hear the rules, again, I always find religious rules a little strange, maybe more than strange, but some of the things that you have to do, you can't do it. You can't automatically have it done. It's got to be done by hand. All sorts of things, just crazy. So that's episode 101 of White Canes Connect. Lisa and I talked to Rabbi Lenny, And we had met him out in Harrisburg at the convention in November. He's a really cool guy. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Orlando at the NFB National Convention in early July. But that'll do it for this episode. I really do appreciate you listening to episode 263 of I Can't See You. Show notes are available over on the website, icantseeyou.com/263. That's icantseeyou.com/263, numerically speaking. And remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long. icantseeyou.com/263. You can connect with me, as I mentioned earlier, on the socials at David Benj on Facebook, Instagram, X, or Twitter. Threads, did I mention Threads? LinkedIn, and on YouTube, where you can listen to the audio version of this podcast and look at a static image of me in a cool Panama hat that I should have bought from Urban Outfitters when Jane worked there, but I didn't. I just tried it on in the store. So I don't own that hat that's in that picture with me. So again, that's youtube.com/DavidBenj. Or if you're watching this, you know that you went to youtube.com/@ICanTSeeYou. That's the at sign, I-C-A-N-T-C-U, on YouTube. Please, if you've got questions, comments, show ideas, reach out via email, like Greg did, to tell me the awesome news about the Phillies. ICanTSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com, ICanTSeeYouPodcast@gmail.com. I really would love to hear from you. You can also call 646-926-6350. You've got up to 3 minutes to leave your name and town and any other stuff you want me to know. But remember, if you've only got 3 minutes, and please do leave your name and town. Again, I'd love to hear from you. I'll use it on an upcoming episode. Again, 646-926-6350. Thank you so much for listening. Be well, stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.